Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Given that Mishnichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, we're coming up on the exciting holiday of Purim. I thought that today we'd take a little bit of a departure from our usual Parshas HaShavua and spend some time this morning talking about an inyan related to the mitzvos of Purim, which with God's help we'll be celebrating coming up. Tanis Esther is next week on Thursday, and Purim is next Matzai Shabbos. We're reading the Megillah, Mishloach Manos, which we heard about from Rabbi Sauer this morning, Matanos Lev Yonim, and Sudas Purim. I'd like to focus this morning on a very significant topic, particularly for guys in yeshiva, guys in high school, the Suda of Purim. Uvifrat, I would like to focus on an aspect of the Suda that I believe, both halachically, as well as hashkafically and behaviorally, is misunderstood and perhaps inappropriately followed. And of course, I'm referring to the famous story, the Gemara and Masechet Megillah, all the bekiyos of all the great ability to quote Gemaras. This is one that we all have down pat. Amar Rava, Rava says, Chayavinish levesumim bipuraya, ad lo yada, bein Baruch Mordechai la Arur Haman. Famous Gemara of Rava. Rava tells us that a person is obligated levesume to have a party to celebrate on Purim until he's unable to tell the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. Rashi on the spot tells us what's pshat levesume zakt Rashi leshtaker biyayin, to become drunk from drinking wine. To become drunk from drinking wine. Famous shita of Rava in the Gemara. The Gemara continues and tells us a story. Fascinating story a few lines later. The Gemara tells us that one year, two great rabbis, Rabba and Rabbi Zera, came together. They must have heard Rabbi Sauer speak about the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, so that they gave each other the necessary foods, both for the reason of Ava V'Yachva and Am Yisrael, as well as so that there'd be sufficient food available to make the Suda. And they came together, they had a Suda, and they, following the dictate of Rava, Chayav Inshul V'Sumi, they became drunk on wine during the Suda. And the Gemara tells us a shocking story. Come Rava, the Shachat L'Rav Zera. Rabba got up and he shechted Rav Zera. Unbelievable. The next day, Rabba was mispalalah, Rabba davened for him, and Baruch Hashem, he got better. V'kamlo, he was able to come back to good health. It's not clear, did he actually die and a nace happened, he came back to life? If he didn't die, he was just in critical sick condition, and he had a refuah shalema because of the tefillahs, a miracle happened, and he got cured, he got healed from this terrible event of having been shechted by Rabba. So new, Baruch Hashem, all's well and ends well, right? So the next year, Rabba calls up Rabbi Zera, and he says, all right, so Sudas Purim is at my house this year. Let's do it again. Says Rabbi Zera to Rabba, Lo kol shaita es rachish lehu nisa. I think I'm going to spend more time with my family this year. I think I'm going to have Sudas Purim. Maybe I'm going to go to my in-laws. You can't count on a miracle every year. Lo kol shana es rachish lehu nisa. And so Rabbi Zera politely refused Rabba's invitation to once again come together and celebrate Sudas Purim. Fascinating story. Fast forward, 2014, high school boys. Yes, what a great halacha. It's not that I would drink, Rebbe. It's chayav inish levesume b'puraya. It's not really what I want to do. It's not something I believe in doing. But listen, after all, Rava was a great amora, was a great talmid chacham. Who am I to argue with the Gemara Megillah, the Farish Gemara Megillah? So you'll be happy to know Now, like all good things in Judaism, there's a machlokas aposkim as to whether or not the halacha follows shitas rava. And if you take a look, we're not going to go through everything in so we don't have time, but the Rif and the Rambam and the Tur, some of you may be happy to note, all paskin like rava. And they said that mamash it's a halacha, chaya vinish afil bizman, that is a halacha lamaisa. You have an obligation to drink wine, the shtaka b'yayin, at the Sudas Purim. That's the opinion of many poskim. However, there are other poskim who disagree. There are other poskim who disagree. So for those who follow the opinion of Rava, we understand. Rava says, Chai Vinish Levesume, you have to drink L'shtaka B'yayin. And those opinions, the Rif, the Rambam, that's what they're poskiting like. It says, Beferish in the Gemara. How can we explain the opinion of those poskim who say, no, Rava's rule, we don't poskin like Rava? So I saw a wonderful article written in the Higyone Halacha by Rav Yitzhak Mursky. He brings the Das Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Baal HaMor, who explain the decision to move away from Shitas Rava as follows. Very simple question. Not every single time we have a psak in the Gemara, do we then follow it up with a story of some kind of demonstration or illustration of what's going on over here. So it's a little bit interesting, it's a little bit telling, that right after Rava's psak of Chayav Inish Levesume, we come across this story of Rava and Rav Zeira, and then Rav Zeira didn't want to have Sudas Purim with Rava anymore. Says the Baal HaMor, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, this story is a Maisa Listor. This story comes to tell us that Divrei Rava Nidachim Hem, Dechuyim Hem. The words of Rava, even though originally they were accepted as law, are now pushed off. Why are they pushed off? Because while the initial inclination, the notion, and for various reasons, which we don't have time to do right now, the suggesting that part of the Simcha of Purim, the Mishteh of Haman and Mordechai and Esther, all of that had to do with wine, so therefore we celebrate the Suda with wine. Yes, Rava knew, he had a basis. But you take a look at this story, and by my solicitor, sometimes the story comes and it provides evidence, it gives us a story, it gives us a reason, a basis for rejecting the original halacha. And it's not the halacha, but rather, because of what happened over here, Rav Zeir is teaching us that what? It's no longer a requirement that you drink wine. When you get drunk, when you go too far with alcohol, what's going to happen? You're going to fall into trouble. Come, Rabbah, Vishakit Leila, Rav Zeir. And I can give you, while you might say, well, that's a crazy story. Come, Rabbah, and he got into a car after he drank something and had an accident. Come, Rabbah, and he drank too much and he had alcohol poisoning. You guys know the stories. Stuff happens. So it's a Maisa Listor. Don't follow this train of thought that Rava presented. Even though the story and the miracle happened with Mishneh Yayin, nevertheless, we have to be careful. We want to avoid those things. That's the opinion, says Rav Mursky, of the Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Baal HaMor. However, let's not give up on the Rambam and the Rif quite so quickly. It leaves us empty. We have a story, we have a question that we have to still resolve. If you tell me that the reason the story is in the Gemara is to contradict Maisa Listor, to contradict that which Rav originally establishes the halacha, so then we understand very well the smichus. We understand very well why they're connected. In fact, the Bach, in his Perush on the Shulchan Aruch, the Bach says that, in fact, the halacha b'zman hazeh is that you don't follow Rava and you're not supposed to get drunk. However, the Bach does limit his objection to Rava's halacha and says you should still drink something. You should have a little bit of wine, more than you normally would have, but it's ad v'lo ad b'chlal. You're all familiar with the famous shita of the Ramah. And the Ramah says that you should drink yosem ilimudo, drink a little bit more than you would normally have, Ani hayiti matzia, that on a typical Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm certainly hopeful that even an ounce of alcohol at supper on a Sunday afternoon is yosem milimudo, and that's more than you normally have, and you'd be yotze that way, and more, you know, more than that, you don't have to do anything. But the bottom line is, the Ramah would say, or the Ramah said, you'll get sleepy, you won't be able to think so clearly, Aruch Haman, Baruch Mordechai. These are the opinions that move away from drinking and getting drunk on Purim. But according to the Rambam and the Rif, who are saying on the tour, who are saying that what? That really, it is a halacha. So how do they explain the Gemara? What's the story? If the story is not coming to contradict Rava, then what's the story in the Gemara coming to do? How do you understand it? So the Sefer HaEshkol, brought down by Rabbi Mirsky, gives us another interpretation. It's not the case that the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zera is coming to contradict Rava's halacha, you're not supposed to drink. On the contrary, it's a proof that really, truly, you are supposed to drink. Wow. Two polar opposite ways to look at the Gemara. How could the story be proving Rava? So he suggests as follows. The Sefer HaEshkol suggests as follows. Here's what's going on. Look carefully at Rava and Rav Zera's conversation. The next year, Rava says to Rav Zera, come to my house, so he does Purim's on me. Right? Now, if the halacha truly was, my solicitor, you can't drink, you don't drink on Purim anymore, then why can't Rav Zera have gone to Rava's house? It's perfectly safe. It's perfectly safe to participate in Sudas Purim together. Why? Because we're not drinking anyway. The halakha of Rava is nidche. So have the Suda, have a regular meal, have your basar, have meat, have fish, have hamantashen, and have a great meal. And there's no alcohol involved. So what is Rav Zera worried about? When Rav Zera says, lo kol shana yisrakesh lo nisa, he's clearly worried that in fact the halakha is, you are supposed to still be drinking. We do follow Rava. And I'm concerned if we follow Rava, even after what happened last year, that's still the din. And if we follow Rava, what's going to happen? I'm going to be in trouble again. We'll lose control. So the fact that Rav Zera says, lo kol shana yisrakesh lo nisa, would indicate that really it is still the halakha, even despite what happened the previous year. And that's why he was afraid. Rabba's not the best guy to get drunk with. I would like to suggest a different view on this particular version of events. This is not Rav Mirsky speaking, it's not the Sefer HaEshkol speaking, it's just me speaking to you. Why isn't it possible to interpret the Gemara that even if there is a din that requires some drinking, as the Bach would say, less than ad lo yada, ad velo ad bichlau, yoser milimudo, as the Ramah says, drink something, demonstrate symbolically it was the Mishteh Hayayin at which the Jewish people were saved after it was the Mishteh Hayayin that the Jewish people got in trouble in the first place. Have an ounce or two, make a bracha, no need to get shikr, and stop right there. Why couldn't that have been the halakha? And yet, nevertheless, and here's the point, please listen carefully, boys. When you start down a path, one drink gets you two. Two drinks gets you drunk. Three drinks for all you seniors who have licenses gets you arrested. And maybe what Rav Zera is saying is that even in the ad velo ad bichlal category, yes, for sure, divrei rava nidachin. There's no drinking to excess. The Torah doesn't want us to lose our minds. There is not a single time all year long that the Torah, that Chazal tell us, lose your mind, get out of your mind. Nor do they tell us to do it on Purim. But even ad v'lo ad b'chlal, we're concerned that when you start doing risky things, when you start taking drinks, when you start being involved in behaviors that may not be the healthiest, the most appropriate, the most developmentally accurate and correct, when you get started, it's hard to stop. And when someone else is doing it, you look bad, it's not cool, can't stop what others are doing. I feel bad not keeping up with the guys. And Rav Zeira is giving you a message. It's not a message about whether Divrei Rav Nidachin. It's a message that there's a proper way to behave. And even if a little bit is not so big a deal, don't start entering into an avenue. Don't start walking down a path that's not going to lead you anywhere good. And how many times have we seen, not necessarily in mitzvah situations, not necessarily because the Torah wants us to, because the Gemara demands that we do it, but stop for social reasons, for various opportunities and activities, that we see guys making bad choices. We see guys going down a path because things got started. It's just ad deloy, it's ad v'lo ad b'chlal. And the message of Rav Zeira is, what you start doing ad v'lo ad b'chlal often gains a life of its own, often gains legs of their own. And it's hard to stop, and it's hard to get off the bus. I want to share with you, to conclude, I want to share with you a different view of this whole idea of ad delo yada bein arur haman lebaruch Mordechai that I saw from the Satmar Rebbe. An unbelievable thought that perhaps will give us a proper perspective of what it means to fulfill ad delo yada this year on Purim. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of comparisons are made by Chazal between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim, the two rabbinic holidays, there are differences, there are similarities. For another time, we can talk about that at some length. But just for the purpose of today, I just want to point out that people talk about that on Chanukah, the goal was to destroy the Jews spiritually, and on Purim, the goal was to destroy the Jews physically. The Satmar Rebbe points out that if you really think about it, both spiritual and physical demise challenge the Jews on this particular time in history of Purim. On the one hand, we all know, Bikesh Haman Lahashmin Laharog Lahabed as Kol HaYehudim Minaviyad Zakein Tafin Hashim B'Yom Echad. He wanted to kill us. He wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. But we need to understand that the trouble started truly because of a spiritual lacking in the Jewish people. Vashsiyach Hadas Ein Ones. When the Jewish people got involved in partying with Achashverosh, when they drank from the Chazal Telos, from the Klei HaMikdash, from golden chalices, cups that were used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and Bnei Yisrael partook, and they partook willingly Ashsiyach Hadas, there was a spiritual letdown. It was the job of Mordechai HaYehudi not just to save the Jews physically, to steal the victory from Haman, to turn the tables, and so physically Haman was not successful in his quest to destroy the Jewish people. But if you recall, the number one problem that Haman had with Mordechai, no matter how big Haman got, v'chol zeh einenu shoveh li, wasn't worth it to him. Mordechai doesn't get up. Mordechai doesn't bow. Haman, they say, the Gemara says, walked around with a pesel, with an idol on his shirt. Said everybody had to stand up and bow to him. And it was doing avodah zarah. What, Mordechai, he wasn't going to bow down to Haman because he had an ego thing going on with Haman. He risked his life because, you know, I'm not going to stand and bow to you. He wouldn't do avodah zarah. It was a spiritual battle that Mordechai was waging on behalf of the Jews. We will not fall victim. We will not fall prey. We will not lose our spirit as Jews. And so Haman's efforts were to not only destroy the Jews physically, but to destroy the Jews spiritually and religiously as well. And so, you could suggest that the mitzvos of the day, the Megillah reading the story, the Pirsum HaNeis, is remembering and celebrating the spiritual salvation that we received. And Sudas Purim, the Mishteh, that is all about the spiritual salvation that the Jewish people receive. Two different types of mitzvos, two different messages of the holiday. Says the Satmar Rebbe, in fact, if you think about it, it's really only one category. It's not two categories. What's going on over here is, what did Haman do? He tried to destroy us physically. What was the tool he wanted to use in order to destroy us? To break our religious spirit. If you can get us to do Avodah Zarah, if you can get the Jews to drink from the clay on Mikdash, then you can destroy us physically. Then you can wipe us out. Hipil pur hu hagara lefnei Haman. But what was Mordechai's weapon? Mordechai's weapon was, U'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. We will not bow, we will not break. We will not allow our spirituality, our religion to be decimated. We will not allow our levels of Kedusha to be lowered. And if you can save the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, if you can save the Neshama of Am Yisrael, then that will be the key to saving the body, the guf of Ibnei Yisrael as well. And so it's really one and the same. It's really one and the same. Haman tried to destroy us physically through a spiritual attack. Mordechai saved us physically through a spiritual comeback. And this, says the Satmar Rebbe, is what we mean by Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. We don't want to know the difference. What does it mean to not know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman? When we cannot distinguish between our physical well-being, our ability to persevere with our lives, is no different, overcoming Arur Haman is no different than achieving Baruch Mordechai, reaching levels of spirituality and Kedusha and religious observance. And so this year, and in about 15 seconds, you'll be able to say Amen. And so this year, next week you'll come down on time, so we'll be finished before the bell.
Ooh.
Amen.
This year, as we all try, because we're such good from young men, to fulfill the dictates of all the halachos of Purim, and we want to achieve Ad Lo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai La'Arur Haman, let's make sure that we recognize our personal growth and development, our physical health and well-being as Jews, our parnasa, our family, all the things that we pray for need to be intrinsically tied with our religious observance. And anybody who wants to be mekayem ad v'loa bichlal of ad shelo yada ben baruch mordechai la'arur haman in this way, more power to you. Shabbat shalom.